Scripture we'll be reading today is out of the Psalms, and it is Psalm 37. It's a long one, but I think it, I'll wait on recording. We don't record the reading, do we? But this is a Psalm of David, and it has a lot of little, a lot of great tidbits in here that I think apply for our daily living. So bear with me as we read this. Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more, though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster they will not wither, in days of famine they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish, the Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields, they will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those He curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep His way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But soon he passes away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." Amen. We have been studying out of Matthew chapter 5. And we'll get back to Psalm 37 in a moment, and I think you'll see why. And where we're at is Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These are the Beatitudes. We'll continue to stress that. These are attitudes you should be. And today's Beatitude is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And the literal translation of that, if you go and look up all the words and see what it says, "Fortunate and well off are the humble," or the meek, "for they shall be heirs of the earth." All right, so "blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Two things in this verse immediately stand out for us to consider. The first, that we should strive to be humble and meek. And second, that when we do so, we become fellow heirs of the earth. And now, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned when I look at these verses. I'm concerned because what we usually consider meekness is, it's a sign of weakness. When you think of meek, you think of weak. And that's not what's being spoken about here. We consider meekness and weakness someone who's not confident enough to go boldly through the trials of life. Gentleness does not inspire in men the vision of hunter-provider. Gentleness? No, I'm going to go kill something. Okay? They don't go together. We just don't envision that. And then the harsh realities of this world force us to think that prosperity comes only to those who take risks, work hard, and constantly struggle to get ahead. What's this world teach us? Fight, 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 go, go, go. You're turning. Fight, 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 go, 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 get, get, get. That's the constant message of this world. You want to get ahead? Work, work, work. Go, do it. And that's what this world teaches us, struggle. So why would we want an attitude or an attribute of meekness and gentleness to be a goal for us? What's the value of meekness? And the answer is given to us in the scripture that we read a little while ago, Psalm 37, and specifically Psalm 37, verse 11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Now, you want war or you want peace? For those of you who have seen a little bit of war, I think you immediately tell me you want peace. And those who don't want peace have never seen a war. We are instructed to be gentle from this verse 37 in Psalm 37:11. We're instructed to be gentle and to delight ourselves in the abundance of peace that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. In that gentleness and peace, we are promised to inherit the earth. All right, I've been reading the Beatitudes for years. What does this one mean? All right, what does it mean here? Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, I look around me, and I don't want the earth. So what are we talking about here? What's going on? So I looked up the word that's used in here for earth, and it translates as soil, country, ground, land, and world. All of those are definitions for it. And in the context used in the Beatitudes, I believe that refers to the promised land. So when it talks about inheriting the earth, it's not talking about this fallen earth that we live in. It's talking about the promised land. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's both an earthly inheritance and a heavenly one. We are given rest while we are on this earth. Did you know that? I didn't. We are given rest while we are on this earth. We are given peace while we're on this earth. Another one I didn't know about. We are given hope and love while we are on this earth. And I hope everybody knows that. All of these are promised to us also, all right, for eternity in the heavenlies. They're promised us for eternity. And lest you take my word for that, we'll go there and look at the scriptures in a moment. Meekness and gentleness. Blessed are the meek. Meekness and gentleness. And I looked up that word meek, and it's got a couple things to it, but it means gentleness, it means meekness. And they're desirable goals for us for several reasons. One, a most obvious reason, is Jesus that's speaking these words. All right, so we should probably pay attention here. Blessed are the meek. Two, it says that the meek and the slash gentle shall inherit the earth. Who's going to get the promised land? The meek, the gentle. And then we remember, thirdly, that we are saved by mercy, not by deeds. We're saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And that finds favor with God. So before we look at struggling and getting through this life and fighting for what we need to get and all those things, it says right here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You can't do that work in your own agenda. It has to be done on the Lord's agenda. It has to be done in the Holy Spirit. If not, there is no value in it. There is no eternal purpose in it. The only thing that will last are the things that we do unto the Lord. Jesus tells us, blessed are the meek. We're instructed to have a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, a heart of humility, a heart of gentleness and patience. We have been chosen of God. Okay, think about this. We have been chosen of God and are holy and beloved of Him. This is not of ourselves, but it is a gift from God. We have no reason to be haughty. Okay, did everyone know what haughty is? Haughty-totty, you know, thinking you're above anybody else. Arrogance. We have no reason to be haughty. We have no reason to be prideful. Look at me. Look what I did. I'm a pretty good Christian. I do all these things good. We have no reason to be haughty. We have no reason to be prideful. We have no reason, and this one hurts, we have no reason to be impatient. I want it, and I want it now. We have no reason to be impatient. We have no reason to be unkind. But look at what they just said to me. Look at what they just did to me. They don't deserve to be treated any better. We have no reason to be unkind. We have no reason to be heartless. All right? Look at that bum standing on the corner begging for money. He probably has a house. We have no reason to be heartless. Ourselves, our self, must get out of the way and let the spirit of meekness, humbleness, and gentleness fill us and put in us the heart of forgiveness. And I'll take you to Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. So Colossians 3, 12 and 13. And so, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Okay, so all that stuff I just said a little while ago, it's right here. It's written. This is what the Lord God tells us to do. Are we forgiving each other? Now, I don't like what he did to me last week. And gosh, are they going to share that again? And how many times do we have to pray for that? Are we forgiving each other? Are we patient with each other? Gosh, I wish they'd knock that off. When are they ever going to do better? Are we patient with each other? Do we show kindness with each other? I'm sorry, I got to go. Do we have compassion for one another? Okay, I'll pray for you. Those who are blessed by God shall receive the earth as their inheritance. Are our hearts restless and filled with anxieties? I fight anxiety. My heart is restless. I fight restlessness and anxiety all the time. I don't even know what I'm anxious about. My whole body, my subconscious being gets anxious to the point of physical illness. And the scriptures talk to us here. Can we not find any place that gives rest for our souls? Can't we find anywhere that we can rest and relax and get away from this anxiety, get away from this feeling that we just can't handle it anymore? Well, there's good news. Jesus tells us that we will find rest for our souls. And guess what it says here? Jesus tells us we will find rest for our souls because of meekness and gentleness. Go to Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And Jesus knows who I am because he spoke these words. Jesus knows exactly who I am. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The answer is right there. If the world got you down, if you've had it and you just can't put up with it anymore, you don't want to fight it anymore, go ahead, do your best shot. Jesus tells us that he'll give us rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And look what he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." Praise the Lord. Through meekness and gentleness, we are made heirs of the promise of eternal life. We're not saved because of our deeds. We always forget that part. We do not receive the promises because of our efforts. We are only justified by the Lord God Almighty's grace. We are only made heirs of eternal life through his grace. There is no other justification, and that's why we are exhorted to be meek and gentle. Each one of us goes into the kingdom of heaven because of God's grace. How dare we look at each other with anything but humbleness? How dare we look at each other and judge each other or consider ourselves better than anyone else in the kingdom of God? The only reason there that we're there at all is by grace and mercy of God Almighty. I take you now to Titus 3, verses 1 through 7. And there's a big mouthful here. It says, remind them, and this is Titus 3, verses 1 through 7, and I am reading the New American Standard Version, if anybody wants to know. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious. All right, everybody knows what contentious is? It means you're always ready for a fight. Oh, yeah? You got a chip on your shoulder. The Energizer, whatever, movie, commercials. That's what contentious means. That means no matter what you say, I'm going to argue. That's contentious. It says, be uncontentious. It says, be gentle. Showing every consideration for all men. That means I got to consider you people instead of how it affects moi. For we also once were foolish ourselves. We were disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, that would be Jesus, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Remember those words? Yeah. Here's where they come from. Whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How cool is this? This meekness and gentleness come at a price. Guess what? You can't just say, Lord, you know I want to be meek and gentle. Well, I can't. Okay, because I'm not meek and gentle. It is not me. So this meekness and gentleness comes at a price. Having these attributes in this world will mean that others will abuse you. They're going to treat you harshly. They're going to deal with you unfairly. And the one that really irritates the heck out of me, they're going to take advantage of you and gain whatever they can at your expense. Y'all want to pray for meekness and gentleness now? Okay? That's what's going to happen in this world. That's what's going to happen. That's what happens to meek and gentle people. Look what happened to Jesus. The world hates Him. If He came today, He would be crucified again. So guess what the reward in this world is for gentleness and meekness? They hate you. However, guess what the gentleness and meekness does? That's what pleases our God. What does gentleness and meekness mean? It means that ourselves are not in the way and we can worship the God that we created. We created? That created us. I wrote down here the God that they created, so excuse me. So we can worship the God that created us there. So there is a great reward. There is a reward for our suffering. And that is to find favor with our God. I don't know about you, but pleasing God, that's not something that was ever in me. I never, ever, ever, ever thought that I could please God. There's no possible way. So I'll go to 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this is what finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose. That's what the word says. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. We're not here to follow my example. We're not here to follow anybody that was ever born on this earth other than Jesus Christ. There are no other heroes. Jesus is our hero. Only Jesus. No one else. These attributes of humbleness and meekness, it says that they need to be hidden in our hearts. Now that sounds like a strange expression. Why would you want to hide it? Well, you don't want to hide it. You want to put it deep inside your heart. That's where they need to be. Because they need to become part of our very spirit. This spirit in us needs to be part of our countenance. Everybody knows what countenance is? That means the way you look and the way you act. That's countenance. So this humbleness and gentleness need to be part of our countenance, so that our reactions to the events of this world are quiet and gentle. Turn on the news. I can't even watch it nowadays, because my reactions are opposite of quiet and gentle. So guess why that is? Who am I looking to for my answers? Yeah, I'm looking at self. Where are the answers? In Jesus. Jesus in our hearts gives us a gentle spirit. Gentleness. So 1 Peter, I'm going to now. Chapter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. It's precious in the sight of God. We are to flee from the distractions the world offers us. And we are told to pursue the things of God. This includes perseverance and gentleness. Everybody knows what perseverance is? Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. That's perseverance. We are to seek after righteousness and godliness. We are to seek after faith and love. And all of these things mean fleeing from selfish desires and pursuing the things of God. 1 Timothy 6, 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. There's that word again. 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 to 26. I love the way this starts. Listen to what it says. Now flee. We're running away from something again. Flee from youthful lusts. All right, you young men, guess what? You have youthful lusts. It says flee from them and pursue righteousness. Us old men have something else, okay? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. There are so many conversations that we have as a fellowship and as a church that have no value in the kingdom of heaven. There is no purpose in them. All it does is generate quarrels. That is not a gentle and meek spirit. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. says so. It's in the book right here. Listen to that. It says we should not be quarrelsome, but we should be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Okay, that was the devil we just talked about. Held captive by him to do his will. That's what happens when self comes into the picture. We're held captive. And I'll take you to one more, James 3, verses 13 to 18. And I love these words. It says, who among you is wise and understanding? I won't judge. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. This is in the book. This is what it says. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. How do you judge if something is wise from above or wise from the earth? Peaceable, pure, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. If it doesn't meet that, all of those criteria, it's not from God. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This fruit of righteousness sets within us the Word of God. We replace this bitter jealousy and this selfish ambition with the wisdom from heaven. Remember all those things we just read? The wisdom from heaven. We take this wisdom and we store it in our hearts, that we may sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, in order to offer to every man a reason for the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. If all we have to offer our fellow man is self, they have no hope. What we have to offer our fellow man is this heavenly wisdom stored in our hearts. And then that is a reason for hope, because it's within us. And if it's within us, we have meekness and fear. Fear meaning awe. We have reverence for our Lord God Almighty. Then I'll read the last one here. 1 Peter 3:15 to 17. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, okay, didn't say if, it says, so the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it, so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.